side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Oh yes, and you're getting a kick in the head today because you have tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only truly automotive talk show here on Long Island with your co-host, Ray Guarino. Joe D is not in today, but in his stead, and actually we had Chris Switzer was supposed to come in today, but due to a family issue, he couldn't make it. So I called the A-team in, and we have Billy G with us today. Billy, thank you for coming in and sharing the mics.
Ray, thanks for having me. I'm in the big boy chair today, looking at all of these buttons, knobs, and lights. And
oh, yeah.
I'll keep my hands to myself.
Ain't it a kick in the head? I know. That's kind of what happens. Yeah, we were slated to have Chris come in today, and I was all geared up. I had my talk up. I thought I had it ready. I had the music planned. I had everything. And at the last minute, you know, life happens. Things come into play. And it was best that he's going to come in next week. So next week is the time you want to tune in to hear a little bit of radio retro on Motormouth Radio with Chris when he comes in. And, of course, we're all waiting for Joe to get back. He's dealing with some issues himself. And we will instead, you know, we're going to keep it going. We're going to, you know. Wow, the place is falling down. The stuff's falling off the wall. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440. Of course, follow us on the web, motormouthradio.com. Same address for Twitter and Facebook. And like Joe says, his favorite Instagram is real_motormouthradio. That's where we put the pictures of things we get into during the week, like a certain Audi brake job that I was involved with. That was kicking me in the head. It still isn't done kicking me in the head. These German cars. You know, Joe's always saying, the German cars. He's right. You got to be a whole nother type of technician / mechanic to work on these things. And wow.
It's incredible what you need to have just to do brakes nowadays.
Yeah. Well, the toolage isn't as bad. It's the information. And
right.
Like with these cars with electronic parking brakes, you need a scanner that can command that caliper open and command it closed. And do all the, you know, the one, I watched one video where they said you had to go into a submenu, measure the new pads, and enter that measurement. This is what got me with these Audis. The second one I've had to work on. And the front brake pads have a sensor. Sensors attached to the pad. Now, these wore down so far, the sensor literally disconnected. Boom, sends the light on in the dash. The owner knows, hey, I better get my brakes looked at. But the rear pads don't have a sensor. This is the second car, and I watched a couple of videos this week, three videos online. Every single one of them had the inboard pads in the rear down to the metal. This one was less than a millimeter from the metal because there's no rear sensor. So I don't know what their thought process is. If you go for the fronts, you should do the backs. I don't know. But
different diameters, Ray? Front and back?
They're big. I know that. Yeah, but typically they are. Typically the front is larger. But it's just this something I've seen with Audis that I don't know. I haven't been able to put together what's going on if people are just waiting too long. Now, of course, like with these rear brakes, as the piston's coming out further and further and the pads are wearing down, you know, I think this car has a caliper issue because they didn't want to go back so nice.
These all-wheel drive cars, though, I mean, because you have the sensors controlling the speed.
Uh-huh.
You would think...
Wheel speed sensors.
You would think there'd be sensors...
Oh, sure.
...in all four. There are sensors in all four.
Well, yeah, the speed sensors there are, right. But I'm talking about the actual
The brakes, right.
The brake pad sensor. The fronts have it and the rears don't. So, you know, if they did... I looked at this car back in January. I looked back to my notes, and we inspected the brakes, and they looked okay, so we sent it back. Now, the fronts needed to be done. But at the time, you know, if the rears had sensors, that would have shown they were bad before. You know, I don't know. Usually, it used to be the rule, Bill, you used to go by every two sets of front, right. You go for one rear. You know, I don't know if that's changed with the newer cars or not. I know on my Mazda, I got 97,000 miles on the car. I think I've done... God, you know, I think I've only done like three sets of front brakes on that car and one set of rears. You know, but that's my driving style, my habit.
Well, it's also the product that you're using. You know, pay a little bit more, get a little bit better.
For the actual pads, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. What's that's a good topic. What's your choices for pads for your cars? What do you like to use?
You know, what was there? There's Moog.
Right.
The whole idea, Ray, is I like to get the pads and open up the box, and I like to put my own 45 degrees on them.
Oh, see, some pads come like with that,
yeah,
with that
they
bevel.
Do, right.
They do. And that's I used to do that back in the old days when they were just square. You would put a bevel on it.
Because I had a tendency of cupping, and then you wanted to take that cup problem out.
I tell you, I had my own car in the lift. This is back a little while ago. And, you know, at this time of the year, my pattern now is oil change, tire rotation, brake fluid flush. And I've done it on four of my cars already in the last couple of weeks. It's just, that's the winter prep. And, you know, when I remove the caliper, I look at the, you know, I look at the pads, and there's usually a groove down the center.
Right.
And it fills in with brake dust. So I take a pick, and I take all of that out. And I had, last time I did this, I had a little bit of a slight little brake squeal, occasional little squeal. I took that dust out. That noise went away.
Was it a glazing?
It went away. Noise went away, yeah. So it's the details, you know. We talk about it in the shop all the time. I talk about, it's becoming a little, a catchphrase for us. It's like, the other guy. Who's the other guy? It's like, you know, I'll show Mike, like I'm putting anti-seize on a bolt. I said, you know what this is for? I said, this isn't for me.
It's for the next guy.
This is for the next guy. I said, because the next guy that works in this car is going to benefit from my diligence. I said, I'm the guy that gets all the rusted and the, you know, the stuff that nobody ever touches, right? It's all, you got to use a half-inch drive impact gun to get the calipers off of this Audi. That's how frozen the bolts were. It's like, oh, geez. And now you're worried about breaking something. And, you know, sometimes it's out of your hands, but that's what happens.
Yeah, and you know, my friends still make fun of me. I'm a hand tool guy, and I always say I like to get the feel of the bolt.
Right.
And because the last thing you want to do is you want to start snapping, you know, 5/8 bolt heads off of
Oh, absolutely.
Calibers.
I'll tell you what we're going to snap. We're going to snap the phone, we're going to go to it, and we're going to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning.
Hey, morning. Who are we speaking with?
Come on.
Christian.
What's up?
Well, how are you, brother? What's going on?
Good. How you been? I know, a long time. I'm still here.
Yes.
I'm usually always tuning in as much as I can.
Now, you know what? You're a guy that we always follow your Instagram posts, your Instagram feed, because you put up some great stuff on there.
Oh, you like my...
From the shop? Yeah.
My craziness?
Some of it is pretty wacky, yeah. I'll show Bill. We got Billy G in,
hey,
in the
Christian,
studio
how are
with
you?
Us today.
Hey, good. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
And, yeah, there is some absolutely confounded crazy stuff you put up. But, yeah, so what are you up to now? What's going on, Christian?
I heard you talking about, you know, we've at the shop, we've been using DP brake pads for the motorcycles because they basically have derived a lot of their stuff from aircraft.
Okay.
So the makeup in the pads are, you know, a mixture of a lot of stuff between ceramics, titaniums, and stuff like that.
Right.
But one of the things I learned with the car world that I've been trying to dabble into now is two things, is drilled rotors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And buying them from, like, you know, online and stuff. I have a few friends that have done it already, and they seem to swear by it.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've been going through this back to the Orient Express days. With motorcycles, drilled versus slotted versus drilled and slotted. There's theories on both, and I follow that with a lot of the, you know, in a lot of the trade publications.
Drilled is effective. Slotted is mainly just so that you can remove weight.
Well, they say that slotted also does remove gas. Because you have to,
it gets
slotted in the direction of rotation, so that removes brake gas and some dust. I mean, yeah,
the main reason we were doing it was for weight,
right?
I mean, we would severely slot motors to the point where there was.
I remember back in like '79, that was the hot thing, and I wanted to do it to my Honda, and I went to Orient, and I had them drill my rotor because it's not something you want to do at home with a hand drill and a Black and Decker.
We still have a rotor from Orient Express. We still have one in the shop from back in the day when they took the Orient name and they drilled the Orient name in the rotor.
Right, right.
some guys had time to do that back then, you know.
Well, you know what I think the holes are typically 3/16 maybe. Quarter inch, I think, is like the biggest you're going to see. I saw a guy did like half inch holes in this rotor. Like, talk about Swiss cheese, Bill. Like, oh my word. You know, lightning is one thing, but you want to be able to stop.
Yeah, but Christian,
but
you're doing it frequency, though. I mean, it's a job that gets done. The person takes out, he competes with the bike, or basically he's changing rotors and pads more frequently, right?
Well, yeah, we're very, very severe on braking with the motorcycle world now, especially with the bikes coming in with electronics that allow for engine brake to help out, but still the corner speed and the late braking is intense. So we have been through so many different scenarios. Now it's down to material. That's why in our shop, we've been engineering and developing a rotor carrier with a quick change. And what that allows us to do is to change the blade on the carrier to different materials. So we go from a cast iron to a stainless to a carbon. And that's just for different conditions, whether if it's a rain, colder, different track conditions, you know. So we're on a material thing now. Now we're past the rotors. We even put in the calipers, we're putting magnets in the calipers to pull the brake pads away from the rotor to free up the drag on them. Yeah, and that's stuff we've used. That's old technology we use on our Daytona bikes. Yeah.
You know, Christian, there's something that I just read recently. There's a later model car that does that. It retracts the piston a little bit in the caliper to back the pads off.
Well, the design of the O-ring and the seal in some of the motorcycle calipers and the high-end stuff are designed to do that specifically, the way that the O-ring will kind of pull it back a little bit. But the magnets were a drastic thing for us, plus also the fact that, you know, lightweight rotors, ceramic wheel bearings, anything to take any of that rotational, any of that friction out is mile per hour for us.
Sure.
You know.
But I guess if you use a metallic pad now, that's all going to stick to the magnets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends, because if we're using, we're using more of a ceramic titanium base.
Okay, sorry. But you may find a wrench stuck to the caliper, or maybe it picked up a screwdriver.
There could be some,
But let me ask you, Christian. So if it's the magnets pulling back, do you have to worry about then with the heat and you get that almost like that waxing crustacean effect?
Rare earth.
You get a buildup.
Rare earth is really what is key, and basically maintenance. You know, obviously bikes get raced, then they get cleaned. That's why if you see some of the MotoGP stuff, they'll have videos on their Instagram, MotoGP. Literally bikes are torn down after sessions and completely washed and degreased, and all those dusts and all that stuff are all severely maintained to the point where the bikes are immaculate. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that's just in more of a high-end racing world versus what on the street, but we are adapting some of those conditions because we're finding that a lot of guys are having street bikes now that they want to take to the track.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing more of these street and track bikes now because guys just aren't really funding full race bikes at the moment. You know, it's just a matter of economics,
sure,
the racing world.
It's tough to do, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And, in the end, the last thing that, we were pretty adamant about is cryogenics and basically taking your brake rotors, and you could do this with cars and stuff, and I found that when we were doing cryogenics for our race engines, we found that the clutch plates would last longer.
Oh, okay.
And with the company that I was doing the cryogenics with, we found, he was telling me, well, what kind of stuff have you been coming through lately, because it was a lot of NHRA stuff, and then they found that there was a taxi cab company or for a fleet of taxi cabs that they were sending all their brake rotors to this company to get cryogenic.
Wow.
And they were finding, you know, a car that, you know, obviously is something like a taxi cab, that their rotors would last, their brake pads would last longer due to the cryogenics.
Especially in New York City.
Anywhere.
Right.
Long Island.
Yeah, you got that right.
Long Island, which is the new New York City. New York City is just going to become like, you know, and I,
this would be no
my mind, you know how my mind works. I think of Heavy Metal, the movie where everyone's floating around and, you know.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, Christian, well, we're going to take a break. And thank you for calling. It's been a while. Don't be a stranger, man. We love hearing about your stuff.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. It's not. I'm always listening. It's just that I'm, you know, every time sometimes I try and call, I'm late on the tree, you know. So it's a matter of, you know, I've been pretty busy on Sundays, but I'm always catching up and I'm always here. So
right.
The listeners know I'm still around. Find me on Instagram and you can follow my lunacy.
And tell people how to find you on Instagram. What is your Instagram address?
It's Christian _.
Yeah. Right.
LI Racing.
Yes, yes.
And that's LI Racing, short for Long Island Racing, obviously.
Right.
Did you see the new pitch up? The mobile pitch up?
No, I did not.
You haven't been following our Snap-on truck, our P30 truck,
you know,
that we've been putting in?
I love that. And I actually showed it to Mike at the shop. I said, you're not going to believe I showed him the video of the truck. Then I showed him when I saw the logo. I was like, look at this, Mike. He was.
We're still getting sued for that. But anyway.
You know what? Because we have a Snap-on truck, too, at the shop.
We do?
Yeah.
It's on now.
No, Mike bought a Snap-on truck. We bought it for the liftgate so we could move stuff, like from the AutoZeam and whatnot.
We put an extension on our liftgate just so we could get the motorcycles in and out. Yeah.
You got to send me some stills of the side of the truck with the logo because I want to show that.
I will.
I didn't want to do a grab. Please do that because...
It's actually getting a big block, too.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Taking the 6.5. The 6.5 diesel's coming out. It's that thing's a crop duster when it starts.
Yeah.
Worst thing. We actually, Johnny over at Piston Race, and I do a lot of stuff with him, you know, with the Haas brothers, and he was, you know, he used to work on those things all the time, and he was like, right away, he said, yeah, you got to put a big block in that thing, and we actually found one out of a motorhome, so it's going to get a 454 with a turbo 400.
Excellent. Very good.
Yep. Well, it's on the way, so coming to a neighborhood near you, Long Island Racing Pit Shop.
Sounds good. Send me some pictures.
Maybe a food truck. Maybe we'll decorate it for Halloween. Hopefully in some parades on Long Island. I don't know.
The first thing I said is we should make a Snappy Snacks food truck out of ours. And I had I had a whole list of the foods and stuff. But we'll get into that at a later time. We'll save that.
And remember, buy a quart of 20 nut and get a free Budweiser.
Yeah, well, you buy a quart. You pay us like, you know, $20 today, and then for every week for the rest of your life, and we'll give you like a taco or something. So you know,
there you go.
You got to follow with the whole mantra. So.
You got to go fund it somehow.
Right. All right, Christian.
All right, Christian, take care.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks. That was Christian from Long Island Racing. Check him out on Instagram. He does get into some – that picture I showed you, Bill, with some bearings. Mm. He does some crazy stuff, Christian. Great guy. We love him. But just like that, just like his shop and the things he does and the way we do this show and our home projects and the trucks, we kind of love all this stuff. You could say it's like amore, right? We could
– Absolutely.
Is that fair to say? Let's take a break. We'll let Dino take us out, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio in a few minutes on 90.3 WHPC.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
This show is brought to you by Disney on Ice presents Road Trip Adventure, coming to NYCB Live, home of the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, November 21st through the 30th. Mickey, Minnie, and you embark on a ride to your favorite Disney destinations.
See the world from the rooftops of London. Travel to the sun-soaked Motunui. Set off on a safari to the Pride Lands. And play at a larger-than-life carnival with Woody and Forky.
It's a getaway packed with unexpected hijinks and up-close character interactions.
More information is available online at DisneyOnIce.com.
This program is brought to you by the Gramercy Theater in New York City, who welcomes the Noise Presents Issues, The Beautiful Oblivion Tour for two shows, Friday, December 6th and Monday, December 9th. Listen to win tickets on Tuesday nights at 8 during the Rock Binge on WHPC. More information is available online at thegramercytheater.com or ticketmaster.com.
Attention Nassau Community College students. The deadline for Collaborate, Learn, and Student Success, or CLASS, Project Common Read Essay Contest is approaching. Submissions are due by Wednesday, November 27th at 5 p.m. Winners can receive up to $250. More information is available by visiting ncc.edu and clicking First Year Experience under the Student Life menu.
Do you own a car? Or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from.
That's amore.
Bells will ring.
That may be amore, but that's also what happens when you press the wrong button you shouldn't press when you're doing something else. You see, you think you're getting smart, and you're not. So we are back, Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Billy G, we're in. We're taking everybody's place today. We're just kind of filling in. We got Clay Kuhn listening to us down in Mississippi from Kuhn Trucking. You got to follow this guy on YouTube. I became a fan a couple of, four, five, 6 months ago. The videos, the tour review videos are fantastic. He has Diesel Medic, which is his other channel where he does repair videos. And these guys are the real deal. You know, like I said, when you got a guy standing there telling you about a gear wrench product that's great, and behind him are Snap-on and Matco banners, he's doing the right thing. You know, he's not endeared to any one brand. We've talked about that, Bill. We all use multiple brands of tools.
Correct, yep.
And we find the good and the bad in all of them, and Clay actually calls it like it is, so we love that. Check it out on YouTube. Look up Kuhn Trucking. And give us a call if you like at 516-572-7440. You can get in on the fun and talk with Bill and myself. Bill is a bit of a homeschooled Corvette expert, so if you have any Corvette questions, restorative or otherwise.
We do what we can.
Yeah, you're in the middle of a couple of projects now, Billy. What's on the plate?
The 67 Roadster. I got it together after 7 months.
Right.
You know, you buy a car, and it was an older restoration, and with the Corvette world, it's bracketry. Brackets that worked on 64s and 65s don't work on 66s and 67s. So
Right. Somebody
thinks they're doing the right thing, putting the car together. The geometry's off on angles spaces. And
I tell you what, hold that thought, because we're going to go back to the phones and we're going to go back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys, it's Hey Macho Man Brian.
Brian.
Hey, Ray, Bill.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
What's happening, Brian? You're the star of the week with us.
I know. You guys did good. You got a good load in this week.
Let me tell you. I know. It was. I kept telling my wife, I said, let me know when that box shows up because I want to get home. I said, that box is worth about $1,000. I said, I don't want some punk kid picking it up. We did a tool order from Brian.
And, I remember hearing you guys talking about it.
Yeah. So, and now we got another order cooking because Clay turned me on to this ratchet combo. You know, the 3/8, I have one like that. You take a 3/8 drive mechanism, put it in a 1/4-inch ratchet body. So now you got a 3/8 ratchet that can get in anywhere. So I might as well tell you, Brian, we're going to do two of those. We're going to do an orange and a red.
Orange and a red?
Yeah.
On the 1/4-inch, do you want the 8-inch or the 6-inch or the 12-inch?
12-inch.
You're going all the way. Going deep, huh, Ray?
Yes, and that's a locking head, too, correct?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful, yeah. And we need two six-packs of Matco.
Go on.
I said we need, I saw that in a Matco flyer, there was six-packs of Matco socks.
It was, yes.
Like, we need two of those, too. Because, you know, anything that I get, Mike, we're doubling up all the time, so we're having fun with this, so.
Okay, let's back up 1 minute, because I think on the red handles are not out on the 12-inch yet, because the red is new, Okay. And they haven't been put out. So Okay. They made their first appearance on the 3/8 drive. I have to double-check on the 1/4-inch stuff.
Okay.
On the socks, I have white and gray, but the most common color is black, and I'm expecting some in. Anytime, whenever they get in, when they get done making out of bamboo. Those are bamboo socks.
Yeah. So, the bamboos are great. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll talk to him and I'll find out. I'll let you know.
Yeah. And like I said, it's just the characteristics of the business. But those quarter inch into 3/8 bodies, I did that. I didn't want to ruin it and let Clay know that that could be done, but those are the little secrets to make you look like a hero to your customer.
Right. Yeah, well, it is. It's just a cool way of, it just gives you that extra tweak on a tool that you wouldn't have off the shelf. And sometimes that's what you need when you're doing a job. You know, like the new stubby impact guns. I don't have one of them yet, but I could see getting up into a chassis. There's been times where I was up there with an impact gun and said, damn, if this gun was like 2 inches shorter, it would work. But, and that's when that stubby comes in. You know, the tools are just constantly evolving, which is great.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy on what comes up or... but you have to know the right guy to sell the stuff to, because some guys will think it's just as strong as the 3/8 when it really isn't. You know what I'm saying? So you end up spending more time repairing it, and then, of course, the guy gets upset because he's like, hey, what's the deal?
Brian, Billy's good friend Clint said it best when he said, a man's got to know his limitations, right? And that's the limitations of his tools as well.
Yeah, well, there's some guys that will try and that know the limitations, but will always push the envelope. And unfortunately, I know a lot of guys like that.
I took a 7/16 socket, and I dremeled half moon into it so I can get it around the header bolts without having to. You know, and then you find out that the wall that you cut out, it makes the rest of the wrench weaker, you know, so.
Yeah, sure.
But then I see that, you know, you folks have that swivel 7/16 coupled to an open end 7/16 on the other side.
Flex head wrench.
Yeah, flex head wrench.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
You know, down to the shop, I brought a collection of them, and Mike was looking like, I have like 4 different 7/16 wrenches that I've heated. He didn't bend. One that was actually cut and brazed. I'm like, these are for Chevy, you know, header bolts. It's like, of course. Doesn't everybody have these?
Yeah, and Brian, I was the guy a couple of weeks ago that called in about taking duct tape and taping two open-end wrenches together to get into the fender well.
Yes.
We've all done it, and I love, every once in a while, I open the drawer to my toolbox, and all the stuff that we've made over the last 30 years is kind of spectacular sometimes. So.
But, you know, I think tool companies sometimes can take an idea from that and run with a new product, because guys in the field will always figure out how to get the job done. We will.
We do. Mm-hmm.
And
very true.
Yeah, does Matco do that? Do they have a program? Is there anybody that you know of who?
They all have it, and you know, like I said, they, you know, send them the ideas. I kind of the idea. Unfortunately, we've seen a few movies about guys that had ideas and what ended up happening to them. Unfortunately, the politics of the corporate world are pretty hard on guys, and. They'll take the idea. They'll end up getting the idea, and you're sitting there with the bag, paying the bill. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys say they have. I've only known a few guys that actually will fight to the end.
Mm.
But they really fought to the end.
Yeah, you can't. You can't go up against corporate's lawyers. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
But I was going to say just to go back a few sentences in this conversation about how guys abuse tools. Couple times I've been on my Snap-on guy's truck, and I pick up a tool and say, what the heck is this? He used maybe a little different vernacular, but and he's like, yeah, one of the guys, he goes, I got this guy at the dealership, he goes, and he's just a tool wrecker. Like, he beats the crap out, and then he wants to trade it in, and he's always wondering, like, how come you're not giving me more? He goes, well, look at it, it's a piece of crap. It's like, I can't even use it anymore. But... yeah, some guys, I guess they feel like, hey, if they're spending top dollar and it's warranted, they have the right to. And some guys are just, they don't take care of their stuff. Yeah, you know, we all know them.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, the problem that we have, and speaking as a distributor, you know, going years back when everybody was making money, and everything was in the double digits and your profits were through the roof, they didn't care what the tool was or how it was done, you know, because you paid the premium, they want the customer service, they say warranty it. And then, of course, when things tighten up, now they want to play by the rules.
Right, right.
And if you clearly go into any catalog and read the back on warranty tools, which nobody does, you know, it says if it's worn out, that's the life of the tool.
Right, right.
But we all know that you bring out your worn out 10 millimeter socket if you didn't lose it.
Right.
If you still have it and you actually wore it out, the guy gives you a new one. But, you know, there's a bean counter in corporate that says, hey, this is worn out, this isn't warrantied. So that, you know, that's the only problem that I have, because years and years and years of doing this, they didn't care as long as they were making money.
I always
now
wondered,
they're counting money.
Yeah.
Now it's a problem.
I always wondered how that worked. And that's a great, I'm glad you brought it up. When people bring into you the worn sockets, that's one of the things I love when I first started buying Snap-on. Like, wow, when the screwdriver tip gets a little rounded, I'm going to get a new one. That's great. I like that.
Yeah.
Where does that come out of your end, or where, how does that get, you know,
well, in some case, in some cases, it does. And in other cases, it doesn't. It's really, like I said, you know, I sent in my brokens every 2 weeks, you know, that's cash flow and so forth. And sometimes I'm amazed that something goes through, and, or I get it rejected, sent back, and I just throw it back in the box and send it in again.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, sometimes I do have a box that I've eaten, you know,
right.
And it's, you know, it's part of doing business to the thing, but that's where I get upset, because when everybody was making money, it was no issue. But now that things are tight or things change, they want to count, you know, you got the bean counters involved and they say, we're not doing this.
Well, let's face it, it all goes downhill. From them, it goes to you, and from you, it goes to the customer. And there's the end user. It's the guy at the bottom of the pyramid.
Brian, the other thing you're competing against now is, as a lot of these mechanics and a lot of the car guys get older, that there's an abundance of pre-owned tools become available at the swap meet. So you're competing against that market now
and
also.
eBay. Yeah, I always see. eBay. Always see stuff on eBay,
It's I've done it myself. I go into a couple of my pawn shops on my route, and it's funny because, you know, the guys, like, because they take stuff in, they don't know what's broken or what's not broken.
Yeah.
You know, they just see a tool and they give the guy a deal, and I'm like, then they realize it's broken, and I can go in there, get it practically for nothing, and send it in and get it replaced.
Right.
You know, or hunt down the guy that took my stuff and pawned it because he's moved on, but that's a whole different story on the skips. But, you know, the only problem it really comes down to is I have that competition, or I have to compete against that. But most guys know that when they have a problem, the pawn shop's not going to take care of it, or the eBay guy's not going to take care of it. So I don't really have that big of an issue with that stuff, because I just tell them, I said, well, I hope the Amazon truck drives by.
Right. Yeah, send it back to the Amazon drone.
Hey, Brian, the biggest recall tool, I mean, it was always an issue, would be the ratchet. I mean, when they break down, for the listeners out there, what are they? They have ball bearings inside of them? How are they? How does the ratchet actually work inside?
The ratchet has basically four parts. It has a spring, a ball bearing, a claw, and the ratchet, and the lever sets five. And basically, they're very, ours are very easy to rebuild and very serviceable. I was going to tell Ray that even though they're sealed, the liquid, the oil that we put in them, you know, will eventually get out, or water does seep in, and you should keep them clean, clean them out every once in a while. And all you got to do is just take the clip off and pull the cover off, and it's all right there.
Right.
So, you know, I do have guys it is kind of funny that you have some guys that are transmission guys and they don't even know how to rebuild a ratchet, but they can do a transmission. And then you have another guy that, you know, is an oil changer and he can take care of it. So it depends on how mechanically you are at the moment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they are repairable and fixable. And I have a few guys, some of my customers that, you know, are kind of tough on them. I leave them a kit. I just tell them save it so that I can send it in and get reimbursed. But, and they fix it right there instead of waiting for me. So
yeah,
it's not a bad thing to have laying around in case you need it. Yeah. If it's your only ratchet or two or your favorite one, that's the problem.
Well, you know, we've been talking about that, and we talked with Clay last week. Now I'm talking to a man, Clay, who's got 59, because he bought another one, tool truck ratchets. And I'm like, Jesus, man, how many? You know, I went with the less is more thing, and I have my favorite, and I still go to the same ones, but I'm kind of branching out. I'm getting older, and I say, hey, you know what? I got to make up for lost time. So I got to buy more ratchets.
ratchets are pretty popular. I sell a lot of them, and there's everything from 2 inches to 30 inches.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you can have a lot of ratchets real quick, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, you get the small, the quarter, you get the difference. Cars have changed, so the toolage has to change as well, let's face it. You know, when I was, last year, I'm on the Snap-on truck saying, you know, impact drivers, you know, Allen keys. Like, you know, I used to buy a set of Allen bits, and we all have them. And I have super long ones, too, that you get in, and then ball ends are my favorite. But now he's got, like, short ones. He's got these little stubby ones. I was like, you're going to pay $300 for a set of these. Take a regular set and cut them down, you know. But now I'm finding, working on the newer cars, damn, I need a stubby Allen or a stubby yep. Torx. I'm like, oh, no, they got me again.
So, wait till you have to do a clutch in a new Volkswagen.
I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm trying to stick to my old cars, yeah. But they keep throwing the new stuff at me.
But, you were joking around with the caliper bolts on the Audi.
Yes.
And, you know, the biggest problem that we had as coming from the dealer, those bolts are micro-capsulated. They're coated.
Uh-huh.
And so it keeps them from seizing in because they're usually some kind of metal going into aluminum.
Right.
And one of the biggest problems was all those bolts that had that greenish funny tint to them
mm-hmm.
have to be replaced with new bolts.
Like a torque to yield bolt, yeah.
Yeah. And so you would get the write up the estimate and you'd have a part that's $500. And then on top of that, you'd have 80 or 90 or $100 worth of bolts and nuts, and the guy's like, do I need all that? And I'm like, well, that's the right way of doing it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, these weren't even green. These were just regular. They weren't even cadmium, but they just were. It's a two and the stupidest design in the world. You had to split the caliper to get it off the car. I'm like, gee. So now you can't push the piston back because you have half a caliper with a piston. What do you do with that? You know, I put one of them, I put it back together and then used my tool. And on the other side, I did it a little differently. But I was like, oh, I'm getting a headache. Give me an old Pontiac or a Chevelle again. Nah. Give me something I can, you know, a Mustang, anything. So
they're trying to push you out of the business. That's unfortunately. The dealerships are good at that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brian, we got to push ourselves into another break. We got to run and do that. So we appreciate the call. Thank you for calling, and thank you for taking care of us with the order. I use my new Matco mug, which is great. It has a chrome handle. But they, you know, Matco now made the logo on the mug the same color as the mug, so you don't see it. And
yeah,
I'm going to take it. I'm going to paint that like a bright silver. I'm going to modify that because I want to show off my tool pride. So. That's what I'm going
to
do.
I understand. It's one of those things I got to talk to our department of marketing. So,
yeah. All right.
Well.
Good talking to you.
Talking to you guys. Ray, be in touch and let me know what you guys want to do. Welcome. And you guys take care.
Thanks, Brian. All right.
Thank you.
All right. That's Matco Man Brian. You can catch him on Instagram. And we are going to take another quick break. But don't forget, when you're lounging around Saturdays at 7 a.m., I do it on the way to work. I listen to Super 70s. It's Ron Stevens, who's back. One of our favorites for our oldies stuff. Take a trip back in time to the music and fads of the Super 70s with Ron Stevens. And for now, we're going to take a trip. You know that? Remember that who made the car. It was a Chrysler product.
Okay. That,
and it was I used to love the song when I was a kid, Bill. When I was little, I used to sing it around the house. I loved it. So we'll share our car things with our song choices here on 90.3 WHPC. Listen while Bill sings along.
Volare. Cantare, oh, let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the mountains.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, nel blu dipinto di blu.
Ah, nel blu dipinto di blu on WHPC 90.3 Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Billy G. We're sitting here, we're singing Italian songs, we're eating Striadelle. We got some black coffee over here. I spilled a little on my shirt. It's okay, it's a Malba shirt. It'll clean off. I hear these wash and wear very well. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. You can still get in on the fun. Talk about Matco, Snap-on, Cornwell, Mac, any kind of tools you want. We're talking about EJ Corvette ratchets right now, so we'll cover it all. What the heck, you know? So yeah, that's what happens on this show. We kind of we'll run the gamut. And
hey Ray, I got a question for you.
Shoot, Bill.
Antifreeze.
Mm-hmm.
So
I say get her a nice little Afghan, maybe a sweater, and Auntie ain't gonna freeze no more. She'll be nice and warm.
You go into a parts place, you want to buy antifreeze to top off or add. So they ask you, well, what's in the car now?
Right.
So it's a matter of you don't mix the Prestone with the Peak. One's green, one's blue. What's the...
You know, there are manufacturer-specific antifreezes now. And, you know, Honda and the German, the European spec cars, there's a special fluid for them. And, of course, the other one was GM uses Dexcool, which is not... It's the orange or pinkish, not green. And you really shouldn't miss them. You shouldn't mix them, I should say. You want to use what the car specifies, and you can look that up in the owner's manual, of course. But they do make, certain manufacturers make a generic kind of coolant that's good for all systems. I don't know. I haven't put that in a car that wasn't a green antifreeze car. I have used it in those cars. I haven't put that in any of my Dexcool cars. I'm kind of scared because my wife's car, her Cruze, late model Chevy, had a couple cooling system issues with that already. So I'm sticking to what the general wanted, and even that got me in trouble once or twice. So yeah, you gotta look. What kind of vehicle are we talking about?
Oh, I did the heater core on the 74 big block Corvette.
Xerox green Xerox.
So
yeah.
What, yeah, so
50-50 mix.
That's what I had green in there, and but I saw what I had new.
Right,
I had Peak blue.
Now blue, what was the did it have? It had to have a spec on the bottle.
You know what? Antifreeze to me, I went in, it was antifreeze. And
I'm not sure what the blue is for. I haven't come across
it. I think it's a blue. But anyway, I ended up getting the replacement.
Peak uses a blue bottle.
Yeah, the blue, yeah.
But the fluid itself
I don't know if it was yellow. It probably was yellow.
There is a yellow.
I didn't use it. I used a Prestone green.
That's the way to go. In that car, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And you 50-50 mix. And what I like to do, I've always done it, I tell people, is use a mix it with distilled water. Go to CVS, you get a couple gallons. It's like $1 a bottle. Because tap water, we have there's iron, we have heavy metal in our area. We have hard water.
Right.
And that can cause corrosion, especially in a car that sits. You know?
Well, I knew it was green because, let me tell you, when that heater core let go, it let go inside the car.
Uh-huh.
And I had, in the Corvette, I had antifreeze in the seatbelt bucket.
Places it shouldn't have been ever.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff, right?
Incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that is a good consideration. You know, when it's in there, you know it, you can smell it, you can see it, there's no mixing it up. All right, we are gonna go back to the phones and back to the fun. We're gonna say hi, you're all at the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Dr. Jeffrey O. How you doing?
What's going on, Dr. Jeff?
I'm missing Mr. Joe today, but anyway, I came over to check out a friend's 2013 Hyundai Santa Fe that died on the road while they were driving it.
Okay.
And they pushed it into a parking lot. They got a couple of clicks out of the starter, but it wouldn't take a jump. So the owner figured it was a bad six-year-old original battery, threw a battery in there, hit the start button, and something smoked under the hood. Ooh. And when I got to it, we checked out everything we can. He's got a couple of O2 sensor codes in the computer, but that's not going to be the cause of a nose start. And after looking at how much fun it is to do a starter, I put a nice big ratchet on the main pulley, and he's got a seized engine.
Oh, geez.
So,
well, that'll do it.
He grins. We pulled a dipstick, and there's nothing showing on the dipstick.
Mm-hmm.
So I threw in 2 quarts of oil, and he's still a quart low. So warning to your members out there who are listening, check your engine oil.
Yeah, good tip, Jeff. You're absolutely right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, because sooner or later, if you're leaking or losing it, you're going to go low, and you're going to be in Dutch. Now you're going to need an engine. All right, we'll keep...
Yeah, if you pull up to a stop sign hard and the oil light flickers, you're really, really, really low.
Right,
and
exactly.
That could be the beginnings of a major issue right there.
Absolutely.
So, check your oil. All right, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, Dr.
Show, guys.
All right, so long. Good tip. That's very true. You know, that's one of the things I do with all the cars. I'm always checking, you know, oils and tire pressures, and it's just something you got to do. You know,
you're a tire pressure guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny what the doc was talking about. I had the experience last year, no start, after I stopped to get a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And my AC compressor seized.
Oh, wow.
You know, so just the tension of the AC compressor seized and kept was a no start.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of tension on that.
A lot
that.
Of tension, yep.
Yeah. You know, our good friend Al is just letting us know that he has his dad's old SK. He stole his dad's SK ratchet. It's like over 50 years old, but it still works.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were saying on the break, that's now a legacy tool. You know, you have to keep that ratchet.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you're not going to use it, and it's got like 13 teeth, and it goes, it's got this, you know, ratcheting. You got to keep that because that's part of the family history. Now, the question is, where does it go from there? And that's what bothers me a lot. Like, where does this stuff go from my collection? You know, we worry about that, you know, and we probably shouldn't.
Where does it go? When we go, it goes in the dumpster, the 30-yard container that the kids are going to have.
Well, that's what I always said. Get a big, get strong boyfriends and husbands because you got to pull the stuff out of the basement that I'm storing. Or just make the hole twice as deep and fill it in with me, you know. But no, that's all important stuff. So it's crazy, 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 crazy. But... yeah, I know. I don't know. We still got some time left on this.
So we were talking about the project with the Corvette.
Right.
So it's a matter of people want to do the right thing and think they're putting the right parts in. But you really got to be careful when you do certain years, especially if you want to have the cars judged to go through the system.
Good point.
And assembly manuals are key. But if you want to short change and not buy an assembly manual. The other thing that works, if you buy, I'll name drop, if Paragon parts, they actually use illustrations out of the assembly manuals.
The best way to do it, yeah.
And you know, because a washer here makes a big difference. A washer here, a washer there.
Yeah.
Because when you line up the geometry of your pulleys,
sure.
being off that little you know, eighth of an inch or smaller.
I've done that a few times with repairs. I've gone, like, you know, there's stuff that's, the car was taken apart. I didn't take it apart. And now what goes where? Go to that FSM. Go to the exploded drawing. And I make the stuff even bigger. I scan it and then print it even larger. And look, okay, what goes where? And you get that. I mean, they built it. They know. It's like going you know, back to Emerald to know the recipe for that, you know, for the rigatoni. He made it, so he's going to know what goes in there. Right. That's the guy you want to talk to. And the factory service manual is your friend. And now you can buy that stuff. You can buy them on CD. You know, you can buy them. It's usually about $20 for the older cars.
There's nothing, though, like, you know,
paper. I know. Well, you can print it.
You print it, you copy it. Well, you know, exactly.
Pages.
You want to get your gooey fingerprints on the, so you print it, and then that's the one you use.
And encase it in plastic.
Exactly.
Bill, we're talking the same language here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know.
Do not attempt this on your own. Huh?
No, it's definitely dangerous. Let's attempt this. We'll go back to the phones, and we'll go back to the fun. We'll say, hi, you're out with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, it's Dan.
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
All right. Yeah, you mentioned tools. I was going to tell you. You know, the old S&K stuff was good, too. I mean, that was like my first set of stuff, you know?
You know, Mike is a huge fan of SK. I have some, too. We all have it. And he's got a whole drawer of his toolbox with nothing but SK, and it's...
Yeah, they were good. I mean, I think they changed. Like anything else, they probably changed. But I know the old stuff, because they used to sell them in the, you know, the auto parts places. Remember, they had...
Yeah.
You know, everything was on this big, you know, pegboard, you know?
Sure.
And their stuff is... I still got a lot of their stuff.
No,
know?
SK is good stuff. The chrome holds up very well. Of course, now the new technology is with... In the ratchets is the teeth count. We're up to like 80 and 88 and 120 teeth. So it's so fine. And Snap-on even has a ratchet that's like a... I call it a cone drive. You don't even feel it turn. It's a friction drive, which is wild. I don't own one, but I was playing with it on the truck. So that real,
you know,
fine,
I mean,
rat, you got 5 degrees of rotation, which is...
I mean, it could, but you know what, to tell you honestly, probably in the shop, you're in the business, you're doing every day, it's a story. But for the average guy, I mean, come on, you know, who's buying stuff, you know? Right? I mean,
you're talking to him. What do you mean?
But Dave, then you're talking to me, and you know what, you got tools, and you find something at the swap meet table, you say, you know what, I can modify that, or... So I'm not hacking up a brand new tool.
Right.
Yeah.
See, my problem is I got some. I can't find the stuff. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I got it. You know, it's but it's forget it. But, you know, I just want to ask you quickly, because I told you I bought that funnel, which I thought was fantastic to bleed out the air like in the system, you know. But on one of the Jeeps, on the TJ, I can't get the air out of the system. I tell you, I don't know what it is. Now I'm thinking,
Hopefully,
the head gasket. I did it again yesterday. I got that funnel in there. I got the antifreeze. I'm still seeing air come out. It's taking it's time for, like, the two hoses that go to the heater core. I noticed it almost took like 15 minutes before the outlet from the heater core started to get hot. Now I'm just wondering, do you think I still have a lot of air in there, or is it just I don't know. I mean,
I have a car that does this. My Fiat is like that. If I open the system, it airlocks.
Yeah.
And the reason is the engine is higher than the radiator. So it's never going to... Yeah, you gotta do all sorts of tricks. And the way I verified is I touched the top of the radiator fins and it's warm, hot, and the bottom of the radiator is cold. So you could do that, or you could use an infrared heat gun. I don't think the radiator is lower than the engine in the Jeep, though. I don't think that's the issue.
Nah, but I mean, like, how long do I had this thing running for, like, almost a half hour.
And you have the heat on. You have the heat diverted
to
the heater.
Yeah, and it's going, you know, it's got idling. She was getting hot, but it's just taking its time. Like, I mean, I don't know, you know. She's idling. There's no misses or anything like that. But that it's taking its time, and I'm still seeing the air come out through that funnel.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. Is that a direct... I don't know.
I hate to say, but it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
Have you checked any of the Jeep forums to see what they have to say about it?
Nah, I'm going to look and see. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, like I said, I changed the radiator. I changed everything on it. I changed the thermostat. It was all open. You know what I mean?
You know,
so I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Does that circulate? There's a diaphragm with the heater hoses?
No, it's a manual for the heat. You know, it's
manual.
Our buddy Clay is saying that a vacuum filler is the key on those systems, and I guess he would know. And Al is saying you need to burp the system. I'll find out from Al what the correct burp procedure is, and I'll let you know, Dan.
Right, but the only thing, what else could, like that funnel that I was telling you. That thing was, let me tell you, it was fantastic.
Yes.
Because you see the air. I mean, I'm squeezing the upper radiator hose. I see the air coming to, you know, with the antifreeze to the funnel. You know what I mean? So you see pockets of air coming up. You know what I mean? But I've been, like I said, half hour, right, doing this thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's,
Al is saying that the TJ, the six cylinder isn't as bad as the four cylinders.
It on the six cylinder. No issues. I did it. I changed the water pump on the six cylinder.
Okay.
Beautiful. No problem. It's nice.
This is
the four cylinder.
It is the four. You said the four cylinders are really bad with trapped air. So
really?
I'll see if I can get information on that burp procedure for you, and I'll let you know.
Yeah,
let
me know, because I don't know.
Brian saying get the idle up to like 1500 RPM. Really get that water circulating.
Yeah.
That's another one. But I'll put this stuff together, and I'll let you know, Dan.
All right. And thanks for the other thing, too. I appreciate it.
No problem, Dan. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. So long. That's our good buddy, Dan. I didn't even get to ask him. He's got a Volvo project that he was working on, a P144, which is cool.
I had that issue with the 76 Corvette years ago with the small block, and there's a diaphragm that runs off the hoses for the heater.
The heater control valve, maybe.
Yeah.
And GM used that in the hose.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, they could fail. They could be a problem. But yeah, you know, like so I say, the forums, Al is a Jeep guy, so he knows. And like he said, the sixes aren't a problem, but the fours are. So I'll tell you what isn't a problem. We're going to take our last break. We're going to make it a quick one because we got to get out of here. We're almost done. But we're going to do a little mambo. And Billy, you ready? You got your shoes on?
I'm ready.
I see you got the shark skin suit. We're going to do this right now. We'll be back on 90.3 WHPC.
A boy went back to Napoli because he missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming song.
When you think about Italy, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Pizza?
No, not pizza. Ninja Turtles?
Ninja Turtles?
You know, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers? No! Rita Monte and Profumi di Italia comes to mind.
Their beautiful music, interviews, poetry, and lots more. Who's at the door?
The pizza guy.
The pizza guy?
All this talk of Italy got me in the mood for pizza.
Maybe the pizza guy wants to listen to Profumi di Italia every Thursday at 5 p.m.
Listen on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. And streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Gonna wear it, mambo, mambo Italiano, hey, mambo, mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe. Shake it like a Giovanna. Hello, kiss a DJ. You get happy in the pizza when you mambo.
Oh, when we mambo. Billy and I were just doing a little mamboing ourselves in the studio on Motor Mouth Radio. There's only a couple minutes left, so I don't know if you want to give us a call. 516-572-7440. But you can save it for next week when my guest co-host will be Chris Switzer. CC Swizzle is coming back. He's the guy I started with back in 04. And, yes, Bill, what are you going
to... I just want to send out a disclaimer that I don't want the Marconi committee to hold us against Ray Guarino, that they take him off the ballot for 2020. So, all right.
No, but you know what? I may get the Tool Users Award. Who knows? My addiction may play out and get me a little bit of a, who knows, because that's
for my appearance here today. I don't want you to have an issue with Marconi.
Well, no, and I thank you again in advance for coming in and doing this with me, because getting a co-host to fill in is always a tough thing. People have schedules, they have lives, they have things going on, and it's tough. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. So I appreciate that very much, because it's definitely, you know, keeps the show moving. Nobody wants to hear just me talk. You know, it's you don't want to do that. I love getting guys like Brian and Clay, guys that have that are out of our region. So it makes people perk up their ears and say, "Hey, what's going on?" But like I said, next week Chris will be in. If God willing, all things working right, hopefully it will. And that's going to be it's going to be. I don't even know what to say, but that's going to be. It's going to be very interesting. But we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And now you're going to stay tuned for Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen, and anyone who played with Springsteen with Kim Tracy, who's a fan favorite. Our fans love listening to her. And, Bill, we got to get out of here.
It's good to be here again. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again, Bill. And we'll be back next week on Motormouth Radio 90.3 WHBC.